morning and good afternoon, everyone. I'm Elliot Callan, president and founder of Prosperity Financial Group, and I would like to welcome you to another episode of Meet the Expert. This is 2023. It's a new year, and thank goodness 2022 is behind us. We haven't had a negative year in a market like this since 2008, and hopefully we won't have it again for another 15 years. So today we have on our show somebody that's going to help everybody of higher means, higher net worth, that owns a company, that's trying to do some tax planning with some really sound, sanguine advice. What do I do and how do I do it? And that's who this is for. So we have today Steve Smith on the line. He's a senior and founding partner of Coleman Smith, McCleary and Deaver. That's a Walnut Creek mid-sized accounting firm. And the reason I invited Steve on is because every time I ask around is who's the best tax guy working with the people that I just mentioned, his name keeps popping up, coming out of originally a Big Eight accounting firm, and now, like I said, with a mid-sized accounting firm. So welcome, Steve Smith.
Thank you. That's a great introduction. Thank you, Elliot. So I have a series of questions I'd like to be able to answer and to provoke some thought.
Well, hold off one moment, Steve. Let me ask you the question first before you start.
Okay.
That's great. It's all good. And let me also tell you that if you need to reach me in the future, it's Elliot, E-L-L-I-O-T, at prosperityfinancialgroup.com, 925-314-8503, and www.prosperityfinancialgroup.com. So, Steve, let me get started right in here. I can tell you're anxious, you're excited, and let's get going in here. It's the beginning of a new year, Steve. It's 2023. Sometimes we have to finish up what we've done for last year, but as a business owner and our high net worth person in there, and high net worth is a relative number. I'm not talking about a $100 million high net worth person. It's just somebody of higher means that's going to pay, 39% federally plus so much more. What do they do to start the year off to plan for a better 2023, finish off 2022? What are some good ideas there for them, Steve?
Okay. Well, there's a lot of good ideas. One good idea would be you start off a new year, you're high net worth, and make sure that you set up a 401k plan in your company. Make sure you set up a Roth IRA, a SEP IRA, any kind of profit sharing plan, so you can start putting some money away for your retirement. Because remember, it's not how much money you make, it's how much money you save. And we live in times when you want to save as much as possible. So that's my biggest pitch is start saving some money. And if you put that money away into a retirement plan, a qualified retirement plan, it's tax deferred and you can't get at it very easily. So there's a very good inclination, a very good thing that you will probably end up saving that money, and you will appreciate that some years down the road when it's there and available when you retire. What else would I do? One thing that's interesting is that if you are a member of a partnership or of an LLC, you have until April 15th of the following year to go back and amend the operating agreement or the partnership agreement and still have it count for the prior year. Now, why would you want to do that? I'll give you an example. Suppose, because this has been a tough year, suppose in 22 you had a loss. Okay. So you might want to alter the agreement that says that the loss would go only to those people that can actually use it. So some of your partners may have basis and some may not. And so you'd say, well, let's give it to the guys that have tax basis because then they can use that loss. So that's something that can be done up until April 15th of 23. So that's something to think about. The other thing is if you're a high net worth person, you're used to spending or paying money for estimated taxes. So I think it's important that you learn what the rules are. For federal purposes, your estimated taxes can be based on the prior year. either 100% or 110% of the prior year, depending on your level of income. For California, they follow the same rules, except that if you go over $1 million, God willing, then you have to pay as you go. So you have to pay, you get the first quarter, qualifies for the prior year, but after that, you pay as you go. So you have to keep current. So there, it's really important that you make up whatever the shortfall is, make it up in the fourth quarter, so whatever you do. Okay, so what does that all mean? Well, it means that for federal tax purposes, regardless of what the next year is, you can rely on the prior year. So if the prior year is low, then you don't have to pay any taxes to the government until April 15th of the following year. For California, though, if you make more money over $1 million, then you do have to go current. Let's see, what else?
Well, let me ask you a follow-up on what you just said, Steve.
Okay, sure.
Okay, and I really got two questions for you. The first one is, when you talk about a 401k, we didn't mention for smaller corporations, more professional organizations, we didn't mention defined benefit plans such as cash balance plans. Are you finding those are gaining in popularity?
Yeah, they are. Many people want to allocate more of the profit sharing to their own, to the higher paid individuals. And they have a lot of rank and file employees, and they would like to pay them the least amount and pay them a higher amount. And so the way to do that is with a cash balance plan and other kind of planning. That kind of stuff, you need to get a retirement plan expert, and meet with him, and they'll do a census of your employees. And then he'll be able to tell what kind of plan you should do and detail it all out and how much money you can save, how much money goes to you and how much money goes to them. And so that would be the best advice. If you don't have employees, if it's just you, then you don't have to deal with any of that.
We are a retirement plan expert in there. So as a person, Steve, if I have a small business, should I, and what are the advantages to me, both for retirement and tax purposes, since that's what we're talking through, CS, LLC, and LLP, even professional services corporation. So I'm an example of a business owner of an S corp. Everything passes through to me. I've never understood why I'm not an LLC or an LLP, and why am I not an individual professional services. So you can see there are a lot of letters I'm throwing out here.
Yeah. So that's a very interesting question. A lot of people are LLCs. Okay. An LLC is like a partnership. You can like to be treated as a partnership. And lawyers love LLCs. So whenever you go to a lawyer and say, I want to get a new business off the ground, the first thing they think of, and the only thing they think of, is an LLC. But the problem with an LLC is if you make money and you have a trade or business and it earns income, you have to pay self-employment income tax on that. So in addition to paying income tax, you pay 15.3% tax on the first whatever it is. It keeps going up by inflation, the first $130,000, $140,000 of income. So that's an expensive proposition to have to pay. So a lot of people might be better off with an S-Corp. Now, an S-Corp, the income from an S-Corp is not treated as self-employment income. So it doesn't matter how much income you make, you don't have to pay that 15.3%. Instead, you must pay yourself a reasonable salary, okay? And there you pay the payroll tax. But a reasonable salary can be far, far less than the total self-employment income that you might otherwise earn. So it's if you want to save on self-employment taxes, an S-Corp is the path to consider. Now, you threw out another one, LLP. What does that mean? Well, if you're a professional services firm, like an accounting firm or a law firm, then you have to have an LLP, a limited liability partnership, and it just has to do with liability. Okay. And, so if you, the other thing that's different, if you have an S corp, the only income that you can base your retirement plan on is your salary. Okay. So you might want to make your salary high enough to absorb that. And the maximum salary for retirement plan is about $280,000, I believe, this year. So it goes up every year by inflation. Okay. So that's what it is.
So you're along the same lines. You're obviously a wealth of knowledge. We're talking with Steve Smith, who's a founding partner of Coleman Smith in Walnut Creek. And you're about 30 something or so accountants there, which is different than the sole practitioners. And that's different from a tax preparer. And I know we're talking to people that have all of them. They have sole practitioners, one person firms, and your firm's going to have to be by inherent, just by having 35 people and an infrastructure, you're going to be more expensive than a sole practitioner. And that person's going to be more expensive than a tax preparer. That's just, it's baked in the pie here. So tell me, what's the motivation for somebody to say, and we get asked this all the time, I need somebody who's more qualified to do my taxes, but I'm worried about the amount of money. And if I go to this tax preparer, like H&R Block, it's $300. And, you know, but I have no idea if they're taking all the right deductions and, and all that. Give me the delineation so that people can make a good informed decision.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, if you go to a single shingle kind of guy or he's an enrolled agent, you might get the cheapest return done. But the problem is, and that may be fine when you're just starting out and life is simple, okay? But life doesn't stay simple. It becomes complicated, especially for taxes. And it's worth it to you. It's worth it a lot to you to pay more money to have it done correctly. Number one, you can sleep at night knowing that things are perfect. You can sleep at night. Maybe he finds a big deduction that you didn't otherwise know about, and or he finds an error that was being done and he corrects it. So the cost of a tax return versus one firm doing it versus another is not just what you pay in the fee. The cost is how much additional tax you might be paying because it's not done properly. So I think if your return is really, really simple, that you're better off just going to H&R Block or some other single shingle kind of guy. But in the minute your return becomes the least bit complicated and has lots of interesting things involved, and you have several businesses or several properties or any kind of complication like that, that's when you should consider using a more high-powered firm to do your returns.
Okay. So the Americans, I'm going to switch gears if I could, Steve.
Sure.
Americans are the greatest charitable givers on the face of the planet. And I get asked all the time about that because I run a charity. Besides Prosperity Financial Group, we run A Brighter Day. And I run that, and obviously I put my money where my mouth is. Most business owners give to a lot of charities because we get hit up just so often on charities. Boys and Girls Club, American Cancer, there's plenty of good ones, both locally, our church, synagogue, and of course the national brand names, right? Yeah. How does this work with getting a tax deduction on charities? And at what point do I want to create and use other strategies where I can get a bigger deduction this year, or even one day create a family foundation?
Okay. So the problem now that most Americans face with giving charity, with making charitable contributions, is they're not tax beneficial to them. And you say, why is that? Charitable deductions are still deductible. Well, the problem is, a couple of years ago, the government changed the standard deduction. It's so high now, and when you consider the fact that you can only get a $10,000 tax deduction, so you need quite a bit of charitable contributions before they become tax benefit, if they have any tax benefit. So what do you do? So if the standard deduction is, what, $27,000, You get a deduction for taxes of $10,000. It's limited. That means that if you have no other, if you don't have a mortgage or and you don't have a huge medical bill, that means you need $17,000 in charitable contributions before they become there's any additional tax benefit to you. $17,000 is a pretty high bar to reach. So what you might consider doing is is contributing more than you normally would. Let's say you do $15,000 a year. Then I would consider making a contribution of like $50,000 to a donor advised fund. You get a deduction then because it's $50,000. You get a deduction, but you don't dole out the money to the various charities. You can give them the same amount they were used to getting every year. So that way, the next year you don't have a charitable contribution at all because you just skip it. You've already given the $50,000 away. And so that's how you would do it. You would alternate years or go several years before you have to make another contribution.
So let me go back to those donor advised funds, because I'm not sure everybody understands that. Mm-hmm. We set those up for people, Steve. So I can contribute. I've got a chunk of money. It was, made some money in 2022 or the year before, whatever I did. And I can put it in, but I'm not sure where I want to give it. I like this. I like that. I could just, how much can I put away in donor advised funds for 2022 all the way through April 15th that would have value to me?
You can do up to 60% of your gross income. So in some cases, 100%. So yeah, so you can, don't worry about that. That's, if you hit that limit, you are very charitable. I don't think that's going to be an issue. So you can put a ton of money away, but like I said, you don't have to give it out. It goes into a fund, and then you later on, you can direct who gets paid out of that fund, but you can do that at any time. The deduction is when you make the contribution to the fund itself.
And we're talking to Steve Smith here, Coleman Smith. Steve, what are a few loopholes that just everybody overlooks?
There's one I think that people overlook for sure, and that is, recently in July last year, the state of California passed AB Assembly Bill 150, which provided a workaround so that the state tax deduction, which I indicated before, taxes are limited to $10,000. If you have a pass-through entity, a partnership, LLC, S Corp, then you're allowed to make a contribution or pay your taxes before the end of the year to California and get a deduction in the business for your California taxes. So if you made $100,000 and you pay $9,300 to California before the end of the year, you get a $9,300 deduction on your federal return. It doesn't offset, it doesn't become part of your $10,000 limit. Now, a lot of people are doing that, but what many people are not doing is considering the following. Let's suppose you have a lot of interest in dividend income, investment income, because you've got a good broker like Elliot earning money for you. So you can form a general partnership between, say, you and your wife, put your brokerage account into that, and then have the brokerage account earn, and then get a K-1 with the interest and dividends on the K-1 and pay the California tax on that income and then get a state tax deduction. Now, in that particular case, it's treated as an other tax deduction outside of the $10,000 limit, but it is a tax deduction. So that means that you have to earn enough income at the higher rate to avoid the problem with AMT. So it's only for people that earn a lot of income and pay 37% tax on that income federally. Then they don't have to worry about AMT. But if you don't have that, then you should proceed with caution. It's one of the things I would do a projection for. But we're at the start of a new year. So that's the time to start doing this stuff. But a lot of people don't think about taxes until April 15th when they have to sign their name to an extension or to the return itself. But now's the time to actually think about that.
Well, you brought up some really good points there, Steve. So you know, as a business owner, well, let me ask you if I could one more charitable question, and then I want to wrap that up and about CPAs. Because I get asked this all the time as a business owner, is it better to make the checkout from my company or checkout to from my personal taxes?
When you say their company, you mean from an LLC or?
LLC or S Corp to the charity, a registered charity, or better to make them out for me personally?
It makes no difference. Because what's going to happen is that
the charitable contribution, if you pay it from your company and the company's an LLC or an S Corp, it's going to flow through to you as though you had paid it personally. So it really doesn't matter.
Okay. So you brought up a lot of tax points, things that I know nobody's heard about, which is great, which is why we have you on here. And like I said, so it's January and nobody's happy with their investments this past year. Lots of people aren't happy with their tax situation. Did they file it to get a tax deduction for California on their federal return? Did they miss the date? Lots of things happen this year. When does somebody look for a new CPA for someone like you?
I would start now. I would start now because
if you're going to switch your existing tax preparer or CPA is already going to start, you know, you're already on his list. So if you're going to make a change, you should make a change in January. You may not have to do anything until later on in the year, but you should let the prior CPA know that, hey, we're switching and thank you for your service, but we're moving on.
Okay. And along the same lines, Steve, I'm going to ask you just how do people reach you in a second, but I have found, and I've been doing this now for my entire adult life, running companies, selling companies, buying companies, and so forth. Communication with CPA seems to be horrible, just horrible. They don't teach you communication 101 in accounting school.
Yeah.
And why is it so bad? And how do I know when I've got a firm that knows how to communicate with me before I'm in crisis mode?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, perhaps biggest complaint that people have is about that. And I've heard people say, well, you know, I send an email, I call them, I leave a voicemail, and I never hear from my CPA. And I think to myself, why wouldn't you? And I think it's how they were trained. I think that when some CPAs that weren't thoroughly trained become real busy, they're thinking that the only thing they have to do is get their work done. And they look at getting a voicemail or an email as a distraction to that job. So what do you do with distractions? You ignore them. And they don't realize that that's their business. They should be answering voicemails, answering emails, doing that first, and then jumping on the pile of work that they have later on. But first respond, because that's the business we're in. You know, we're supposed to let people know. And even if the answer is, gee, I don't know yet, like I've got clients who say, hey, have you heard anything back from that letter you wrote to the Franchise Tax Board or the IRS? Even if I don't have anything to report, saying that you don't have anything to report is better than not saying anything at all. Because so even if there's nothing to communicate and do that. I think it's just how you're trained, really, I think. And I think I know why the people that aren't trained, why they would diverge from that. But to me, sometimes I spend a whole day communicating and then I have to work at night to make up for it.
So we've been talking with Steve Smith, who's senior and founding partner of Coleman Smith McCleary and Deaver in Walnut Creek. And Steve, if people want more questions or they just want to reach to you or have a conversation or see if they're a good fit for you, what are the best ways to reach you?
You can reach me on my phone at 925-385-2023.
or you can email me at Steve, S-T-E-V-E, at csmllp.com, and we can start talking about doing business together.
And that was Steve at csmllp.com.
Yes.
Super. So we've been talking with Steve Smith. I'm Elliot Callen. I'm the president of Prosperity Financial Group. You can reach me at 925-314-8503 or email is Elliot, E-L-L-I-O-T, at prosperityfinancialgroup.com. Steve, thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you.
And have a great day, everybody. We'll see you real soon.